Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers had their first intra-squad game of spring training. We're going to talk about some of the stuff we saw there, including some potentially big news about Max Muncy and his swing. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman were both named in the top 10 in MLB Network's top 100 right now. Talk a little bit about that and their interactions and their relationship. And we'll talk about what impact the new pitching rules might have on the running game this year. That's what's on tap, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My normal co-host is Vince Samperio, but it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And we got a lot of compliments on yesterday's episode. Vince and I were back together for the first time in a while. Some of you have given us kind of a hard time that we're never together, and we got a lot of compliments on being back together yesterday. And so to celebrate, I am solo today. In our defense, Thursday, when I'm recording this Thursday night, it's Vince's birthday. He turned 32 years old today. And so I thought he deserved a day off from the podcast. Want to give a little, statistical analysis of Vince's birthday really quick. Vince is about a month younger than Alex Wood and Trevor Bauer. He's about 3 weeks older than Trace Thompson. He turned 32 on Thursday, by the way, Vince did. He's 6 months older than Kike Hernandez and about 7 months older than Zach Lee. And as long as we're mentioning Zach Lee and Vince, might as well mention that he's also about 6 months younger than Chris Taylor. Perhaps more importantly, Vince is 5,014 days younger than me, meaning I was 5,014 days old when he was born. And then Vince was 5,002 days old when my first daughter was born, my only daughter, my first child was born. And so what I'm saying is Vince is closer in age to my child than he is to me. And yet somehow we coexist on this podcast, including the once in a blue moon when we actually do it together. So happy birthday to the Vince. Happy to take the show for today. Hope you had a great day. And I'm looking forward to talking with you next week. Hopefully a couple episodes with the two of us together. So the Dodgers had their first intra-squad game on Thursday, and nothing earth-shattering. Julio pitched, Noah Syndergaard pitched. Both of them looked good. Kind of a consensus was that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, and that's probably to be expected. You know, it's picking up your timing again to hit major league pitching can take a while. A couple notable things. Miguel Vargas apparently made the defensive play of the day. Unfortunately, no cameras were rolling. We got video clips of a few other things. Austin Barnes hit a line drive up the middle that Julio reached up and snagged in a nice play. We had video of that. We had video of some other things. Did not have video of Vargas's play. Apparently, I think he was going to his right at second base, kind of slid to field the ball and got up and fired to first for the out. We did see video of the aftermath of Mookie Betts and others celebrating Vargas on the way back into the dugout. After the inning, it was apparently a really, really good play, which, you know, it's promising. Miguel Vargas, his defense at second, is one of the experiments that the Dodgers are taking part in this year. And so it's a good first sign. Obviously, it's an intra-squad game. It's the first one. And making the flashy plays is part of being a good defender. But also part of being a good defender is making the routine plays routinely and making the somewhere in between flashy and routine. That's kind of where the money is made, is on the middle difficulty plays. How many of those can you make? So, you know, we don't know still what to expect from Vargas, but better than him botching it and pulling what was the name of that Braves second baseman who made like a was it the Braves? I know Dan Uggla made a couple errors in the All-Star game, so maybe I'm conflating Uggla and a different, but I'm pretty sure it's a guy in the Braves, and he made like three errors in one inning. I don't know if it was a playoff game. Must have been a playoff game, or else I wouldn't have been caring or paying attention. Anyway, so a guy who played for a team did something at one point, and that's what, you know, it's better than that. No, you guys know what I'm talking about. Some Brave second baseman, I think, made three errors in an important game. So that was good news. One thing we did have video of from the intra-squad game was Max Muncy getting a base hit up the middle off Noah Syndergaard, and Muncy celebrating, put his hands up and said, yes, no shift, because it was a base hit up the middle, just a little bit to the second base side of the second base bag, and where in general that would have been a ground out to shortstop for Muncy with the shift, and this one got through. So maybe that's a good sign. But the more notable thing about Muncy was, you watch his swing, he did not do the step back. If you remember last year, obviously Muncy was terrible the first couple months of the season, and in late June the Dodgers were in Colorado, and Muncy kind of got some inspiration being in Colorado, thought of Nolan Arenado and the step back thing that Arenado does with his back foot. So with Arenado, it's his right foot. With Muncy, it's his left foot. As he's loading up to swing, Muncy started taking just a little half step backwards with his back foot, which totally turned his season around. The results were immediate and very effective. For the last, you know, 3.5 months of the season, Muncy wasn't quite what he had been before, but he was much, much better than he was the first couple months of the season. And for the last month of the season or so, Muncy was about as good as he's ever been. But there were some downsides to it. Muncy did miss some time in September with soreness that Dave Roberts said was probably a result of the mechanical changes that Muncy had made to make up for, you know, the struggles were probably because Muncy was still recovering from his elbow injury. You remember at the end of 2021, he had that collision with Jace Peterson of the Brewers at first base. Muncy just gruesome injury to his elbow, turned out to be pretty darn serious. And I think he was still nursing that a little bit early last year. And so the step back helped him kind of accommodate for his limitations that came from the elbow issue. Now, though, he seems to be fully healthy after a full offseason and even a couple extra weeks of offseason that he didn't want because the Dodgers got knocked out of the postseason early, and he didn't do the step back in his swing. The fact that he didn't do it in his first intra-squad game at bat doesn't mean that he is totally ditching it, but is at least experimenting with ditching it. It seems like it was always kind of meant to be temporary anyway. The way Muncy talked about it, it was a crutch. It was a Band-Aid to make up for some of the struggles he was having. So if he's fully healthy, it makes sense that he would at least experiment with dropping the step back. And so that'll be something that's interesting to watch this spring. You know, as you're listening to this, it's Friday, February 24th, which means tomorrow is the Dodgers' first spring training game. Pretty much every game is going to be televised. The only two games that aren't going to be televised by Sportsnet LA this spring there's 2 days that the Dodgers have split squad games. And on both of those days, Sportsnet LA is only televising one of the games. And I know one of the games, it won't be on TV at all because the game that's not televised by the Dodgers is against the Guardians, and they're not televising it. I think the other game, I don't remember who it's against, but I think it's televised by the other team's broadcast. And just so you know, spring training games are always free on MLB TV app. Even if you don't have a paid account, I think the spring training games are always free. So should be able to watch, and they're never blacked out. So you should be able to watch all the spring training you want. And there's going to be a lot to watch. So one of those things to watch will be Max Muncy and his step back, whether he experiments with bringing it back or if he is totally done with it. That'll be interesting to see. And obviously Miguel Vargas's defense. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, both getting a pretty big honor from MLB Network, and some of their interactions together that make me smile. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, you got to try a Built Bar. You sometimes probably grab a candy bar, right? It's easy. It's portable. You know, it's easy to eat. You can, if you're like me, you don't like touching food, you can just unpeel enough of the wrapper so you never have to touch the food. You know what? All those benefits of a candy bar you can get from a Built Bar, including being covered in chocolate and being delicious. But the good thing about Built Bar is it's also good for you. Low calorie, low fat, low sugar, low carb, high protein. Every Built Bar, it's got like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and like 17 grams of protein. They're delicious. I don't know how they do it. I think it's magic. I assume it's the good kind of magic. We're talking Harry Potter and not Voldemort. But I'll join Team Voldemort if he's making things that taste like Built Bars, honestly. And the cool thing is you don't even have to order them online anymore. You can just go to built.com. You can do that. But my point is you don't have to do that. You can go to Walmart or Sam's Club, because you can get Built Bar in the stores all over the country now. Walmart has flavors like cookies and cream, double chocolate or coconut puffs. Sam's Club has flavors like brownie batter and churro. So head down to your local Sam Walton marketplace and pick up Built Bars, and you can thank me later. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, when you're done here, for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. MLB Network has been rolling out their top 100 right now list over the last few weeks. At first, they did their top 10 right now at each position, and then they do an overall top 100. You know, obviously a lot of the same names. Some positions are deeper than others, and so you'll have some guys who make the top 100 who didn't make their top 10 on their position, and vice versa. Some guys who made the top 10 on position but don't make the top 100. But what we had, the Dodgers ended up with 5 players in the top 100 right now. You had Clayton Kershaw at number 81, I believe. Could have been 82, 81 or 82. And then you had Will Smith at number 42 and Julio Urias at, I think, 49 or 50, somewhere in the same batch of 10, somewhere between 41 and 50. Julio was in the same batch with Smith. Well, then nothing until we got to the top 10. And in the top 10, we had Freddie Freeman at number 10 and Mookie Betts at number 4. Yeah, Mookie Betts came in at number 4, which is, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, obviously it's awesome, and I don't really disagree. I think Mookie Betts is outstanding. I think he's going to have a very good year. He seems like he's in great shape and committed and everything. It's kind of interesting that Betts, he was the highest ranked National League player on this list, despite finishing 5th in the MVP voting last year. You had Paul Goldschmidt, who won the MVP last year, is number 7. Manny Machado, who finished 2nd, is number 5, right behind Mookie. Nolan Arenado, who finished 3rd, is number 6. And then Freddie Freeman, who finished 4th, is number 10. Mookie finished ahead of all those guys in this list. Some of that is track record. This is the 6th straight year that Mookie's been in the top 10, and it's the 8th straight year that Mookie's been on the top 100 list. And so you've got a track record there, a consistency, but also it's just kind of, you know, says a lot about the belief that people have in Mookie Betts' underlying talent level. Last year was kind of a down year for Mookie, and he finished 5th in the MVP voting and set a career high in home runs. And that's kind of that's the thing about Mookie, is his baseline, his floor is so high that he can have a down year and still be very, very good. Freeman had a better year than Mookie last year, and doesn't have quite the same length of track record, even though he's been in the league longer. But as far as being an elite player, it's mostly the last 4 or so years that Freddie's been kind of an elite player, 4 or 5 years. But, you know, 10th on this list is nothing to sneeze at. Both guys, having 2 top 10 guys on the same team, obviously the Cardinals also did with Goldschmidt and Arenado, and not surprisingly, the Angels did too. They had Shohei Ohtani at number 1 and Mike Trout at number 3 with Aaron Judge in between them. Those 3 guys, Ohtani, Judge, and Trout, are the only guys who finished ahead of Mookie on this list. And so it's kind of interesting. Mookie and Freddie were on MLB Network together to talk about this, and I love watching those guys together. They weren't together. They were obviously both in Glendale for spring training, but they looked like they were in their own Airbnbs they weren't sitting together, so they were via satellite from, you know, a mile apart from each other or whatever. But just their the way they joke together, it's not surprising. Freddie and Mookie are two of the most easygoing, likable guys in baseball, so it's not surprising that they hit it off really well and became really good friends. But it's still fun to see. They had kind of a running joke, joking about how last year Mookie had more homers than Freddie, but Freddie had more stolen bases than Mookie, which is kind of backwards. And one of the running themes, Mookie kind of talked about how he's not as fast as he used to be. And that's something I've noticed. And I feel like it doesn't get a lot of play, but Mookie's sprint speed really isn't, it's not anywhere close to elite. And it's not even very close to what it used to be. He's not slow by any means, but he is not the speedster that he used to be. And, you know, according to Mookie, he's just getting old. You know, he's 30 now, which is pretty darn old. That's almost as old as Vince. But, you know, so Mookie, and I'm going to talk more about this in the third segment today as far as the running game goes, but Mookie was asked a little bit about that. And so that's going to be part of that segment. But just kind of a running theme that Mookie just isn't as fast as he used to be. But they jokingly asked Freddie Freeman if he has a 30-30 season in him. And he was incredulous at the idea of him stealing 30 bases. He said he might be able to get caught stealing 30 times if they want him to do that. But my favorite thing was they were talking about Mookie playing second base. You know, Mookie came up as a second baseman. All through the minors, he was a second baseman. And the reason he moved to right field was because the Red Sox had Dustin Pedroia at second base, so they moved Mookie to the outfield. Turns out he's the best right fielder in baseball. He's won 6 gold gloves in the last 7 years. Just outstanding defensive right fielder. He still loves second base, and he's played a handful of games there each of the last couple seasons. And Dave Roberts has said he'll probably play there some this year just to kind of give him a partial break sometimes, just because second base is less demanding physically than right field. And Mookie's going to be playing some second base in the World Baseball Classic. The Team USA, the only pure second baseman they have on the roster is Jeff McNeil. And he, you know, so they're going to have, I'm not going to say anything bad about Jeff McNeil here. I don't think he's as good as some people think he is, but I guess I said something bad about him. Sorry, Jeff McNeil's mom. I'm sure you're listening. I'm sure he's a lovely person. Cool first name. Anyway, Mookie's going to play some second base, and Harold Reynolds asked Mookie if he, you know, if he wants to play more second base with the Dodgers, and Mookie said he does, but Freddie hates it, and that everybody broke up laughing and asked Freddie why he hates it, and Freddie said Mookie's the best defensive right fielder in baseball. He's winning gold gloves there, and he wants to play second base. Just go back out to right field where you're the best in the game, and you know, it's obviously all in fun and very joking, good-natured, but it's something about that interaction. Just it's always good to remember that Major League Baseball players are regular, real people. You know, we pay money to go watch them play baseball. We're separated from them by a wall and security guards, and so it's easy to think of them as not being normal people, and they really are. And so they've got these friendships, the same kind of friendships you develop with, you know, your coworkers or with the guys you play beer league softball with, you know, whatever it is, they have these same relationships. And it's, you know, one of the reasons that people love having Major League Baseball as a career is those friendships, those relationships with these guys who share a love of the game with you. I'm always reminded of back in 2015, I guess it was. Yeah, it was 2015, the year that Vince and I met, the spring training that he and I met, maybe even the same day we met. It was sometime within the day or two. I was in the Dodgers clubhouse at Camelback Ranch, and I overheard a conversation between Clayton Kershaw and AJ Ellis. And Kershaw's daughter, Callie, his first child, had just been born. I think Callie was born in February. And so maybe late January. And so she was just, you know, maybe 6 weeks old, 2 months old when I heard this conversation. And this was about a week before the end of spring training. And AJ asked Kershaw how he and Ellen were going to get to Los Angeles with Callie, for the start of the season. And Kershaw was talking about how they hadn't decided yet, because they're trying to decide which would be more of a pain, taking a baby on an airplane or taking a baby on a six-hour car ride. And, you know, there's pros and cons to both. And so they were talking about that. And I realized I've had that same conversation with my wife. You know, we live in Utah. My parents live in California. And so we go to California a lot. And my wife and I, we have three kids. All three of them have been babies at one point in time, never at the same time. But and so we've had that conversation. And we've had times when, you know, I remember in 2011 when my youngest son was about 6 months old and we were going down there for Christmas. And we decided that the two older kids and I drove down and my wife and the baby flew down because the flight was preferable to the 10-hour car ride. And so, but just hearing Kershaw and Ellis have that conversation just struck me like Clayton Kershaw and Ellen Kershaw have the same concerns as parents that my wife and I have. They're regular people. And just something about this interaction with Mookie and Freddie, like it wasn't like they were talking about baseball, but it wasn't a baseball conversation. It was two friends joking around together about their job that happens to be baseball. And it was just kind of a reminder, like, I love both of those guys, both Mookie and Freddie. The reason I was so excited when the Dodgers got both of those guys is both of them were among my favorite players even before they came to the Dodgers because of their personalities, their easygoing nature, their smiles. They're just likable guys. And I love that they've become like besties on the Dodgers. Everybody looks better in Dodger blue. And yeah, it's just an awesome thing. I'm going to come back in a minute. I am going to talk a little bit more about one of the things Mookie said about base running and kind of talk about what impact the new pitching rules might have on the running game. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. I was looking, I'm not a big NBA guy, as you guys know, but I was looking at some of the lines on FanDuel right now, and I noticed that for the Clippers game that's coming up, you can bet on Kawhi Leonard to score 25 points and the Clippers to win. That's a plus 146, meaning if you bet $100 on it, you would get your $100 back plus $146. Then Kawhi Leonard scoring 30 points and the Clippers win is plus 290. So it's almost double your money just by adding 5 points for Kawhi Leonard, which obviously, you know, that's kind of where the risk is. It seems like they're pretty confident Kawhi's going to score 25 and less confident about 30. So if you feel risky and you think Kawhi's going to have a big night, you can put some money on that and make some good money on that watching the Clippers game. A lot of different things like you can do like that, that you can do at FanDuel. Plus FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same day parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sport, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. If you're watching on YouTube, I'd love to hear your comments in the comments section. If you're listening on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you on social media or email or voicemail or text. I'll give you all the contact info at the end like I always do. But for our last topic, you know, we've talked a little bit about the new rules coming to baseball. And a couple of these new rules are kind of designed, at least in part, to increase the running game. Specifically, you've got the limit on number of pickoffs. Some of that is just for pace of play because, you know, by implementing the pitch clock, well, if a pitcher can get around it by, you know, doing a pickoff throw, oh, I'm not quite ready. All right, I'm going to step off and do a lob over to first base, and that resets my clock. So some of it is just for pace of play. But also, the rule is you get two disengagements per batter. And on the third one, it's a balk unless you pick the guy off. So a disengagement is stepping off the back of the rubber or a pickoff throw. And you can do one pickoff throw and then you do another one. And then the runner can get a little bit bigger lead because he knows that you can't do another pickoff throw except if you pick him off. And so it becomes kind of a cat and mouse game at that point. You know, maybe you take an extra step knowing, okay, well, I think I can get back still with this, but this gives me a good chance to run on this guy. And the pitcher knows, if I don't get him, I'm giving him second base. And so pitchers aren't very often going to make that third throw over to first base because it's very, very risky, risking a balk. In fact, pitchers probably aren't going to very often make even the second pickoff throw because then you do back yourself into a corner. And so maybe after the first pickoff throw, guys get that extra step knowing, well, he's not going to want to use his second free one. So I have a little bit of a chance. Some pitchers might just not even do the first pickoff throw. Just pickoff throws might become a thing of the past for some pitchers because they don't want to have to keep track of how many they've had. Don't want to risk the balk, all of that stuff. In which case, yeah, it could increase the running game. You also have bigger bases. It's 3 inches in each direction. Shortens the distance between first and second base by 4.5 inches, I think it was. But if you think about it, how often do you see a guy stealing second and he was either out or safe by a matter of inches? It's somewhat often. And so that could be a meaningful change in the number of stolen bases, or at least the number of stolen base attempts. And on that MLB Network broadcast, they asked Mookie if the new pitching rules might encourage him to be more aggressive on the bases as far as stealing bases goes. And he didn't really think it was. He said, that's asking a lot. As I've gotten older, I've slowed down. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I'll get over to the first, and I don't really get that many opportunities because Freddie usually swings in the first two pitches, so it's hard for me. And then he said, but probably not. Basically, Mookie said, yeah, I am who I am. I'm not as much of a base stealer anymore. Mookie remains a very good base runner, even though he's not much of a base stealer anymore. And so I think Mookie will definitely, even if he doesn't get more stolen base attempts, I think he'll get some more stolen base attempts, but even if it's not a huge number more, he will have slightly bigger leads, which means better jumps on hits. So more often, you know, scoring from first on a Freddie Freeman double, those kind of things. I think we're going to see it impact the running game, even if it's not in the case of stolen bases. But I think overall, when we're not just talking about Mookie, I do think the league in general is going to get more stolen bases and more stolen base attempts, and it will add some excitement. I grew up in the 80s, and people used to steal a lot more bases back then, and it was fun. And we've kind of learned since then, you know, when Ricky Henderson, by the end of Ricky Henderson's career, he was very efficient. He was a very good base stealer. Early in his career, he was just very fast. You know, the year he stole 130 bases, he got caught stealing, I think it was 42 times, which, you know, when you're stealing 130, it's not a terrible percentage, but that's 42 times that he got out when he was on base. And so, you know, there's that break-even point, and people figured it out that it's, you know, whatever it is, 75 or 80%, probably 70, 75-ish percent to make it worth it. And sometimes we get too smart for our own good, at least for the purposes of entertainment value. And that's part of the issue with all of this stuff. A lot of the things that, a lot of the reasons that people don't like analytics or sabermetrics or whatever you want to call it, whatever boogeyman word you want to use, is that a lot of the things really do make baseball less enjoyable, but they also help a team win. And so really it comes out that it's kind of a never-ending conflict of, it's not the Dodgers' job to make baseball enjoyable. It's the Dodgers' job to win baseball games. And so I think that is why the league felt the need to step in, you know, the shift. I don't mind the banning of the shift. I understand the people who say, well, you're just penalizing people. Keith Law was on the show with me a couple of weeks ago, and he said that like they're limiting how smart a team can be. And I get that perspective, but I also think somebody has to be looking out for the enjoyment factor, the entertainment factor of the game. And the fact is, if every ground ball is turning into an out, that's less enjoyable. I like ground balls up the middle that squeak through into center field for a base hit. And we haven't had many of those lately because of the shift, you know? And so basically I like more base runners. I like base running. I like excitement. And I think that it is up to the league sometimes to say, all right, well, we're not going to let teams go as far analytically as they might be inclined to, because we are looking out for the entertainment factor. And I think that's how it should be. I don't want Andrew Friedman worried about, well, if we do this, it's going to make baseball less fun. That's fine. Win baseball games. The most fun I have as a baseball fan is when the Dodgers win. And whether that's a boring game with all the ground balls turning into outs, but the Dodgers won, great. I don't care. I want the Dodgers to win first and foremost. But as a league, I think it is up to the league to, it's not fun for everybody when the Dodgers win. Some people don't like the Dodgers. I don't get it, but apparently it's true. It's up to the league to make the sport as entertaining as possible for everybody. And because not every team is going to win and an entertaining game. So I'm excited to see how these changes work. I do think there will be a lot of unintended consequences. I doubt that Rob Manfred has implemented these things in the best way possible, because I don't think Rob Manfred and best way possible belong in the same sentence together. But I do think that some of these changes will be exciting, and even some of the unforeseen consequences will be exciting in their own special way. So it'll be fun to watch. And with that said, that wraps it up for us for the week, which means by the next time we talk to you, the Dodgers will have already played 2 spring training games. That's exciting. We are officially back into fake baseball season, and real baseball season is right around the corner. So I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. When you're done here, I want you to remember that you can go check out, Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, I would love if you add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers, please tell them about the show. Maybe they'll love it as much as you do. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.